right. Thank you, Kevin. Wonderful song, wonderful job. Every morning I am reminded my body is dying. I get up and, well, what don't work or what hurts today, you know? And we are reminded that that is the case. I was really humiliated this morning. As you notice, when Russell is up here, he has all kinds of microphones hooked up to his head and chest and everything. And the one that he normally wears, I can't get to fit my head. And so Mike has one back there, and he said, let's try this. And so I tried to put it on my left ear, and he said, well, your lobe's hanging out. And like, okay, I'll try to stuff my lobe inside there, you know. And that didn't work because I was like cutting my hearing off, you know. And so I said, here, you try it. And he tried it, and then he said, I think your ear's too big. I've been told my mouth was too big before, but never my ear was too big. So anyway, I'll probably live past that. We're going to talk about the disobedient king today, taken from 1 Samuel 15. Last Sunday, I talked about Jehoshaphat, who was a good king. And as you read the Old Testament, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, there's a lot of bad guys, a lot of bad kings, and most all of them did not do according to the what the Lord wanted them to do. And the very first king, you know, the children of Israel said, we want to be like everybody else, we want to have a king. And they had just, up to that point, they had just listened to what God told them to do. And it's called a theocracy. But all the nations around, they had kings. And so the children of Israel said, we want a king. And so Saul was their first king. And Saul is a wonderful example of how not to be a king. And so we're going to use him as an example of the disobedient king, and we're going to take it from 1 Samuel 15, and we'll start with verse 10. The words will be on the screen, and you can follow along in your Bible if you would like to. 1 Samuel 15, and we'll start with verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Now Samuel was the prophet at this time that was in charge of anointing Saul, and he was the prophet at that particular time. And he cried all night over the things that Saul had done. And so Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel that Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set up a monument for himself. I mean, he was kind of proud of himself. And he turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, I think that's kind of funny because you have the king here, and we're going to find out what he was actually hiding, but he just suddenly becomes all religious and everything, and he says, blessed be the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done everything God's told me to do. In good old Missouri language, he was a hypocrite. He just kind of pretended to be somebody that he wasn't. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one of our biggest callings, all of us, is to, as Brother Mitch used to say, to have our walkie-walkie match our talkie-talkie. We need to be sure that the way that we live is exactly what we believe. And our walk should be the same on Monday as it is on Sunday. Could I get an amen? Amen. And so anyway, in verse 14, Samuel, we're going to find out he doesn't have anything to do with this. Samuel said, oh, really? No, he didn't say that. I said that. Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? If you've done everything that God told you to do, what's all these animals I'm hearing? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to the sacrifice of the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. I used to really enjoy following politics. I don't do that so much anymore. But one of the things that is very common and is very consistent with politicians is, when I get in there, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do... And then when they get in, guess what they say? Well, I can't do it because of the previous administration. You know? It's like, why didn't you think of that when you said that? And so Saul comes along and he says, praise God, I'm doing everything God's told me to do. But he says, the people are the problem. And so says they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Notice it's the Lord whose God? Your God. Suddenly he's not as quite as blessed be the Lord as he was. So we just kept the best of the best. And in verse 15, Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we've devoted to destruction. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. And I bet he pointed his bony finger right in Saul's face. And he said, stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. I bet he was sorry after he said that. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. In other words, buddy, the buck stops there. Okay, you can't blame it on the people. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, uh-oh. No, he didn't say that. He said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission in which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, just to sacrifice. Now we didn't keep them. Come on now. Come on, Samuel, listen to me. We didn't keep them so that we could have them or anything. We only kept them because we were doing God's service. I mean, we just wanted to sacrifice these two. The only reason we did this was just to sacrifice. And Samuel said in verse 22, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now, let me, if I had a fireplace, I'd just turn on the fire here and just have a heart-to-heart with you here. But let me just tell you, if God's telling you to do something, do it. There's not enough money that you can give that is going to be more obedient than what He's telling you to do. You know, people give money, people, you know, read the Bible, people do all these things. But if God's telling you to do something, do it. He might be telling you to teach a Sunday school class. He might be telling you to witness to your neighbor. He might be telling you to do this or that. And there is no amount of negotiating with God. There's no amount of, well, I'll do this and that'll please God because I really don't want to do what He's telling me. Don't do that. You see, do what God's telling you to do. That worship is great, and Brother Kevin leads us in worship, and that's so wonderful. But let me tell you, the highest form of worship is obedience. Just obeying what He has told you to do. And the Bible here just tells us in no uncertain terms that it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Don't you know that when He said this, that the people's mouth just dropped on the floor? Well, I thought I was being real religious by doing all these sacrifices and offerings. But has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. And the King James says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And presumption is in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. Uh-oh, now we're getting serious. And finally, Saul kind of comes around and he says, I have sinned. I bet Samuel said, well, duh. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed the voice. Can I pound the pulpit and say, we need some leaders in our churches. We need some leaders in our politics. We need some leaders who will say, I'm going to live by the right way. This is the way I'm going to do it. It don't matter what the people say. And boy, I'll tell you what, we don't go on the latest polls. We go on, thus saith the word of God. Anyway, verse 14, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord with your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may bow before the Lord. Now, we don't know whether his repentance was sincere or not. I used to teach school. I did that for about 20 years. And it was always funny to me. Sometimes you would get on to a student, and they weren't sorry for what they had done, but they were mighty sorry they got caught. And of course, it's not my place to judge whether somebody is truly repentant of because they're sorry for their sin or they're sorry for they got caught. But I tend to think that King Saul here was doing what was politically expedient, because Samuel comes along, and Samuel, and it's in verse 26, Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Let me tell you, if I can be just real honest with Bass Chapel Baptist Church, my church that I love the people and love, but let me tell you, some of you have rejected the word of the Lord. Some of you have rejected what God's word says. How do I know that? Well, I just know in a congregation this size that there are some people who never read the word of God. And the only time they hear it is on Sunday morning. And let me tell you, you need to have a daily relationship with God of reading His living Word. And now, I'm going to tell you, Julie, and I've been going through the Old Testament since January 1, and there's a whole lot of things I don't understand. I mean, to tell you, all the sacrifices And Larry was talking this morning in Sunday school about the building of the temple and everything like that. I don't understand it all. But let me tell you what, that's what God has called us to do, is to be obedient even when we don't understand it. I didn't understand algebra either, but I read the textbook. And so the textbook is the Bible, and we need to read it and not reject the word of the Lord. And Samuel turned to go away. I mean, he's done with Saul. Samuel turned to go away, and Saul grabbed him. Saul seized the skirt of his robe, and it tore. And don't you know Samuel's thinking, I just bought this. Why are you ripping my clothes off? And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who's better than you. Whew, touche. And also the glory of Israel. Notice that that's all capitalized there. The glory of Israel. Who's the glory of Israel? That's God. The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. So Samuel turned. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul bowed before the Lord. First of all, I want you to see the refusal of King Saul. The refusal of King Saul. He turned his back from following me. There's two types of sins that we commit in our life. This is on your handout, by the way. Does anybody not have a handout? Larry passed those out, so I wonder if he got everybody. Okay. All right, good. Well, good help's hard to find, Larry. So. Okay. All right, two types of sin. First of all, there's the sin of commission, where we commit sins. He turned his back from following me. King Saul said, I'm not going to do it. I have heard people in my life, and you probably have too, that says, I know the right way to go. I know what I should be doing. I know this is what God wants me to do, but I've decided I'm not doing it. I've even heard preachers say that. The sin of commission. The sin of commission. And a sin of commission is to know something is wrong and you make up your mind to do it anyway. James 4:17 tells us, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is that awful three-letter word, sin, that I is in the middle of it. That's what Satan got into trouble. I will take the place of God. I will build myself up. I think that's why the letter I is right in the middle of the word sin. The sin of commission. And then there is the sin of omission. The sin of omission is where we leave out something. And King Saul said, I am not going to perform my commandments. Or he didn't perform his commandments. Sin is not just something we do, but sometimes it is something that we ought to have done. The Matthew 28:19-20 comes to my mind when I think of the sin of omission. And I think this hits all of us. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Now Jesus was telling this not only his disciples, but you and I who are his disciples. Here's what he's saying. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. There's no disclaimer there. I mean, you can't just say, well, that's just for Brother Russell. Or that's only for the deacons and the Sunday school teachers. You see, that's something that we're all called to do, to go and share and make disciples. We usually confess our sins of commission, but let's ask the Lord to search out our hearts for sins of omission. Heavenly Father, right now I pray that you would help us to realize those sins that we're omitting, those things that that we're not doing that we should do. I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal that to us, and then we would repent of them, and that we would ask you to help us, Lord, in that area. In Jesus' name. I like Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Now, this takes a lot of courage to pray this prayer. But here's what it says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Well, now that's pretty tough. But then it goes on and it says, try me and know my thoughts. Just to be honest with you, I just soon not be tried by God. Trying sometimes kind of hurts. Trying is like when I give my jury students a test. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 takes a lot of courage to pray that prayer. So we see King Saul, the disobedient king, he refused to obey. And then, of course, he had a rationale for disobedience. He had a rationale for disobedience. I mean, he only wanted the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Okay? So point two is the rationale of disobedience. It's okay because it's the best of the sheep and oxen. You see, Judges 21:25, and can I say, this is the day and age that we live in, is Judges 21:25 says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. All you got to do is read Facebook or the newspaper or, you know, all you have to do is read that, and we call that situational ethics. Well, now it's okay to lie in certain instances, or it's okay to do this. You see, we live in a day and age where good has become bad and bad has become good, but let me tell you, God's word has never changed. What is bad, what is wrong, what is sin is still sin. And let me tell you, I've heard of these churches that say, well, we just need to change with the times. Well, folks, let me tell you, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we are a peculiar people. The Scripture says that we're going to be different than what the world is. And as we have these youth sitting here in the congregation today, let me tell you, my heart goes out to them, because the only way that you can know right from wrong is by reading God's Word. I love my parents, but they might lead me wrong. The only way that you can find out what is right and what is wrong is to read and study and consume and live by and learn the Word of God. Every man did that which was right. And there are people, you know, especially in third world countries, we as Christians, they just soon kill us and think that they're doing God a favor. Every man did right in his own eyes. And then notice that one of the rationales of disobedience was blame. Two points there under the rationale. One was justification, and then the other one was blame. Have you ever blamed somebody for your issues? Have you ever blamed somebody for, you know, I've heard it all when I was taking psychology classes at Missouri State and even SBU. We would hear this, that the reason that this child is the way they are is they weren't raised right. And so it's their parents' fault or whatever. Folks, let me tell you, from the beginning of time, we as men especially have been blaming things on our wife. You remember what Adam said? It's this woman you gave me. Yeah, I'm telling you, boy, I got a lot of amens from women there. Not too many from men. It's real easy to blame somebody else, but let me tell you, I believe God would have every bucket sets it on its own bottom. I believe that what we need to do is we need to say, I have sinned. I'm the one that is responsible. Lord, forgive me. Again, going back to teaching, I remember sometimes I would catch a kid in whether it was talking or whatever, I would catch him in the act and take him out in the hall and talk to him. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. No, it wasn't me. And I just wanted to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. The rationale for disobedience, the refusal to obey, the rationale of disobedience, and then the rebellion of disobedience. Then the rebellion of disobedience. And look at Psalm 40. Well, first of all, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the Lord. And then go ahead and go to verse 23. And then it says, behold, for rebellion is as the sin of divination or witchcraft. I mean, let me tell you, when I was a teenager, I went through some rebellious times. I went through some rebellious times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we lived right next door to a Catholic church. And still there, the house is still there, the Catholic church is still there in Ozark. And they left their key on the little lamppost above the door. And on Friday nights, now, you know, I really should make everybody swear they wouldn't tell this story anywhere else. But on Friday nights, me and my buddies would go in there and we would steal, drink their blessed wine. And I don't know why we were so rebellious, but we did that. One Saturday, praise God, my parents were not there. I'd have never gotten out of jail if they had been there. But one day, the priest came over and knocked on my door. And he said, somebody's been stealing our blessed wine, and I have to go to the local beer joint on Sunday morning and get some wine and bless it before we can have it. You don't know who's doing that, do you? And I said, no, I have no idea. I was bad to lie when I was a teenager. And he said, we're going to think that it's you doing it if it continues. So I went and got the key and threw it out in the field. Anyway, the rebellion of disobedience, the rebellion of disobedience. Psalm 40, verse 6 tells us, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Mine ears have you opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings have you not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God, yea, your law is written in my heart. And so, let me tell you, God doesn't want your money, your time, your talent, your leftovers, your works. He wants you. He wants you. He wants all of you now. When he has all of you, you'll be given those things. But he wants all of you. As we will see, they thought they were doing God a favor, but they were missing it. In Matthew 12:33, it says, and to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all of your strength, that and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's what he wants us to do. The rebellion of disobedience. So we see King Saul refused to obey. We see the rationale of his disobedience, the rebellion of his disobedience. And now let's see what happens, because what's going to happen with his the reaping of disobedience. And we find that in verse 28 where it says, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you. It's no longer going to be yours, King Saul, because you disobeyed, because you didn't follow all the Lord has told you to do. You see, Galatians 6:7 says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Let me tell you, young people and older people and really old people, let me tell you, what you sow is going to be what you reap. Brother Mitch used to say, there are a whole lot of people that sowed bad things and they're praying for a crop failure. And let me just tell you, that what we sow, we reap. Now you remember in Genesis 4:13 what Cain said. It says, "And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." We've got a couple of former principals, high school principals here, and different people. And I can honestly say that when I, as a teacher, when I said, here's what your punishment is going to be for whatever they had done, almost every one of my students would say, now I know I deserve some punishment, but you're being too harsh on me. Well, let me tell you, when you sin and you reap what it is, it's up to God how harsh to be. We're at His mercy. And sometimes you're going to think, well, God sure is being harsh on me. And Cain felt that way. He said, the punishment is greater than what I can bear. You know, sometimes people try to negotiate with the Lord. Now, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. But it doesn't work that way. The refusal to obey, the rationale of disobedience, the rebellion of disobedience, the reaping of disobedience, and finally, the repentance from disobedience. See, Larry, we're still going to get out and beat the Methodists to lunch. You know, we talked about that in Sunday school. And the repentance from disobedience, verses 30 and 31. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. What is repentance? Repentance is, I've been going this way, I'm going this way, and then you repent of that and you turn and go completely the opposite direction. That's what repentance is. Not only because we get caught, but Paul saw the error of his ways, we hope. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is what our country needs to do. This is not Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian or anything like that. This is what the Word of God says, and this is what the United States of America needs to do. And this starts with the churches of America. This starts with Bass Chapel Baptist Church. And here's what it says. If my people, that's us, that's you, you're here today. If my people, which are called by my name, that's you and I, will do what? Humble themselves. Well, I thought that was pretty good. That's not humility. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek my face. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about the lost coin and the lost sheep and then the lost son, prodigal son. And let me tell you, one of the things that all three of those had in common was that their owner searched, and I don't mean they searched a little bit, they searched diligently. And that's what we need to do. We need to seek God diligently as if it matters. Desperate for Him. And our country right now is truly, I think, in a desperate mode. Seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways. We call that repentance. And I will hear from heaven and praise God. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do you think we need a healing today? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we read in your word that if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. And I pray you do that, God. I pray that you would just heal our land. I pray that it would even start with Bass Chapel Baptist Church, Lord. God, we need you, and we ask you that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 51, 1 and 2 tells us that have mercy on me, O God. This is the way to repent. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Saul was the disobedient king, the refusal to obey, the rationale of disobedience, the rebellion of disobedience, the reaping of disobedience, and then finally, the repentance from disobedience.